Place to raise your case, rest your case than at the cross there, and we find that out truly from the Word of God. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Sunday school teacher told his class about the story of Lazarus and the rich man in Scripture there. He highlighted the plight of Lazarus and the blatant neglect of the rich man. One was privileged in this life, the rich man there, and the other found peace in heaven. That was Lazarus, of course. After the teacher had shared these truths, he posed the following question to his class. It's now, which one would you rather be, boys? the rich man or Lazarus? One guy raised his hand and he replied, I'd like to be the rich man while I'm living and Lazarus when I die. I imagine that there's quite a few people that might would like to have it that way, live as they please in this life, and then once they die, be able to live in heaven as if they please God all their life. But that's not the way it works. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. In other words, you can't have it both ways. Jesus also went on to say in Matthew 12 and verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. You can't ride the fence. You've got to make a choice. You're either with Christ or you're against him. You're either pleasing Christ with your life or you're displeasing him. There is not a middle ground there. And salvation involves choosing Jesus Christ only as your Savior. It's not Jesus Christ and church membership. It's not Jesus Christ and baptism. It's not Jesus Christ and trying to do the best you can. It's not Jesus Christ and being consistent in praying certain prayers. It is only in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we put our faith and we choose to receive what He did on Calvary to be our payment of sin. And that's when salvation takes place. And that's the genuine choice for salvation, and I hope that you have made it. Commitment, then, to the Lord after salvation is choosing to be faithful to the Lord and His Word, what He has told us to do, while forsaking the allurements of our flesh and of this world, of the things it would want to do. These decisions determine both our spiritual destiny, either heaven or hell, and it determines our spiritual rewards and even our present joy, the joy of this life that we can experience. It also produces levels of spiritual living that we're going to see in just a moment. Today, I want you to do two things for me. In this message, I want you to evaluate in what category are you presently living. Those that are living in a lost condition that are not saved, and those that are living saved, that should be easy enough for you to evaluate and determine. And then I want you to determine what choice that you should make to better please God. Not just getting saved or not, but after we get saved, what would God have us to do at that time? Excuse me, it's warm up here. I've entitled the message today, Choose You This Day. Father, I pray that as we look into Your Word, that You would enlighten us to understand the truth thereof, that You would help us to evaluate honestly where we stand before You. And then, Lord, I pray that we would make the choice today that would please You with our lives right now. And I ask that as we do so, that it would be in such a way that would bring great glory unto You. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want us to look here at two categories of people that would be represented by this room this morning. And the majority of you would be under the saved category, the spiritual person that I'll say. But there's another category called the natural man, and it's found right here in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words here, there is a natural man that is not considered to be a spiritual man. He cannot even understand spiritual things completely. And this natural man, as we describe him or define him, would be one that has been left in his natural state in which he was born. Do you know that the Bible tells us that we're all born as sinners? We're told in Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That one man was Adam, the first man. And he sinned, and therefore sin came into the world, and the judgment of sin, which is death, came into the world, not just physical, but spiritual death, separation from God for all eternity future in a place called hell. And he says there, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Not only are we born as sinners with a sinful nature. And everybody that has been born in this world with a human father has had a sin nature that's been passed down to them. That's one of the reasons why the virgin birth is so important. The doctrine of the virgin birth, Jesus was born not with a human father, therefore he did not have a sin nature, neither did he any sin. Therefore, he could be our substitute there to die in our place. But every one of us that are born in this world, apart from Jesus Christ, that's everybody that has ever been born. We have a human father, and therefore we have been given a sinful nature, and we choose to sin beyond that as well. And because of that, we are in a natural state when we're born. And anybody that goes through this life and does not choose to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they die in that same state, and they're under the penalty of death, spiritual death, for the wages of sin, God says, is death, and therefore they have to die and go to hell for all eternity. That is the truth of God's Word, but folks, there's some great news that God has given us as well, as we'll see in a moment. But if nothing changes in their life, if they do not get saved, they die as a sinner. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him, on the Lord Jesus Christ, is not condemned," not judged there, "but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And so it is important to understand that if you are in that situation, that if this morning you would recognize and say, "Pastor, I do not believe I have ever genuinely asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life and take away my sin," you're in that condition of the natural man, and if you remain in that condition, you will die and you will go to hell. Nobody in this room would desire that. Nobody in this room would desire that for you. God certainly does. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're told in Matthew 7 and verse 13 and 14, Jesus describes mankind's destiny, and he describes it this way, that there is a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and there's a broad way that leads to destruction, to judgment, which is hell that we spoke of. And he says these two destinies here, there is a determining factor that tells which one you're going to have, whether you're going to end up in heaven or whether you're going to end up in hell. And the determining factor is a choice that you have to make. Remember the title, "Choose You This Day." It is a choice that God has given and made available unto you right now that you can choose to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Understand this also, that the natural man looks at life and looks at how to get to heaven, etc., in a different way than what Scripture says. The natural man, number one, has a mentality that good works or works of some sort will help get him to heaven. If you ask a natural man on the street, just anybody in our county that does not know the Lord, if they believe in heaven, if they do they want to go there? And they'll say yes. How do you think that you get to heaven? One of the things that they're going to say is either trying to do the best I can, if my good works outweigh my bad, then I'm going to be able to get to heaven. Or they may say that, you know, I think if you join a church, if you have a church membership, that's what is necessary. Or maybe you need to be baptized in order to go to heaven. If you do these things, then God is going to allow you into His heaven. But that is not found anywhere in this Scripture. Going to heaven has nothing to do with the good works that you can possibly do. Matter of fact, we're told in Titus 3:5 that it says, "They're not by works of righteousness which we have done are we saved there, but it's by God's mercy that He saves us." And in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, God calls even the most righteous works that we could do, the very best that we could do, as filthy rags in His sight. In other words, the very best that I can possibly do falls short of God's glorious standard. And therefore, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a one in this world, not a person in this church could ever work good enough and long enough to ever work their way into God's heaven. Nothing that we can do. Not only does the natural man think in those regards there, but the natural man cannot receive the spiritual things of God. Notice there in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The natural man, the person that has never been saved there, has a hard time understanding and appreciating the truth of God's Word. It does not make sense to them. Not until they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ are their eyes open and the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within them to help them to understand the truth of God's Word. That's where it comes from. The only spiritual thing that a natural man can receive is found in John chapter 1 and verse 12, where it says, "But as many as received Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." The way that we become a son of God, a child of God, is by receiving the gift that the Lord Jesus Christ has given of Himself there on Calvary. As I quoted a while ago in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that the wages of sin is death, the verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you do with a gift other than receive it? And that's what God says, that simply salvation is understanding that you're a sinner, understanding that the wages of sin, what you deserve, is hell, is death, separation from God in hell for all eternity future. But God, the good news is, loved you enough to send His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on Calvary. And there when He died, He paid the penalty, not only of your particular sin, but the sin of the entire world. And since He could be our substitute there, He died in our place and paid that. Since He is God, His sacrifice was infinite enough to take care of the sin of all mankind. And to those that will come to Him by faith and choose to receive Him as their Savior, to them He saves, He forgives their sin, He gives them a place in heaven, and they have a life then that begins to be a spiritual walk with the Lord Himself. That's what salvation is. That's the only thing that salvation is. It is a decision that a natural man needs to make to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, the second kind of people that we're talking about this morning would be represented by the spiritual man. And we'll keep reading there in chapter 3 in verses 1 and 2. And I want you to see there are three categories in which the spiritual man can be put. The first one here, it says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were you not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." I want you to understand right here, this first category I want you to pick up on is babes in Christ. These are the ones that have just been saved. They're newly saved. They're starting out, and they start out as a babe. They have very little understanding of the knowledge of God's Word. They are learning the truths of God's Word together, and they are growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the babe in Christ. Now, it is understandable. And by the way, over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter says this about these newborn babes. He says, "As newborn babies, as physical newborn babies, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." Just like little babies desire that bottle to be fed there, we ought to desire the Word of God that we can grow. Do you know, once we are born into this world physically as a baby, 15 years later, we don't expect you to be still a little baby. But yet there are some Christians today that have been saved for 15 years or more even, And they still have very little knowledge of God's Word. They have very little ability to get in God's Word and really dig for it themselves. They are still babes in Christ. That is not God's plan. That is not God's desire for you. God's not satisfied with that for you. Neither should you be satisfied with that condition yourself. We ought to be growing. We ought to be learning. We should be feeding upon the Word of God. We should be exposing ourselves to the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verses 12 through 14, here the author of Hebrews writes, and he says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Let me stop right there. And this author here is saying that there were some believers that he was speaking to. He says, right now, you ought to be able to teach others. Not necessarily get up in front of people and teach a class, but you ought to be able to speak to other people about the Word of God and instruct them about what the truths are all about. You ought to be able to speak to the babe in Christ, the true babe in Christ that's young, and help them to learn the Scriptures and to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. But this author says there are some of you that have not grown. Matter of fact, some of them had grown some, but they reverted back. Now they were in need of milk. They could not take the meatier things of truths of God's Word. They still wanted somebody to teach them the very easy things. And there are some Christians today, I think, would be totally satisfied that if all a pastor ever did was preach a salvation message, oh, they'd be coming to church every Sunday praising God. He's preaching salvation because it ain't speaking about their need. They're already saved. Let me tell you something. God didn't say, go out and bring all the world in to get saved in the church. He said, you go out and get them saved. You bring them in the church that they may grow, be edified, to mature. And that's what we need. And we need the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God in the church, that the church may grow thereby, and that we may become mature individuals and no longer weak as children in knowledge. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20, he says there, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, that is, in wickedness and evil, be children, but in understanding, be men, be mature." And that's what we want. So, you've heard the statement before, use it or lose it. Could I add something to that? We are to learn it, we're to use it, or we will lose it. And that's why in Hebrews, the last verse there, verse 14, says, "Be strong, but strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." It is our learning of the Word of God, our using it to help others, that keeps us from losing that knowledge and reverting back to those that are babes in Christ with our understanding. We have to learn it, use it, or lose it. So the decision that the babe in Christ needs to make is to expose themselves as often as possible to the teaching of God's Word. The second category is found back there in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 3. He's talking about these Christians here, but he says there, "You're babes in Christ," verse 3, "for ye are yet carnal," fleshly, "that whereas there is among you envying," selfish attitude there, "and strife," a selfish action, "and division," the result of that in the church there, "are you not carnal and walk as men?" The word carnal there has to do with fleshly, living after one's own personal desires, fleshly desires. In Romans chapter 8, Paul speaks about this a little bit. And let me get over to there. Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, verse 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." That is, they think about the things of the flesh, and they prepare themselves to fulfill the things, the desires of the flesh, etc. there. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly person there, is enmity against God. What does the word enmity mean? It means to be an enemy against. The person that is living just to please themselves, even though they have a profession that they have trusted Christ, and maybe they genuinely have, but if they're living right now to please themselves, they have made themselves an enemy against God. Again, Jesus said, if you're not with me, you are against me. The carnal mind is against God there. Why? In verse 7, for it is not subject to the law of God. In other words, God's Word has spoken, but they will not submit themselves to that truth. They will not place themselves under that truth. They are defiant in their will to submit. There are at least three things that are true of the one who chooses to yield themselves. Get these words? Chooses to yield themselves to their flesh. The first one is they have a defeated life. That's why they are defeated Christian. There's no victory to sin. They keep falling into the same sin right out one time after the next. They don't have any joy in life because they know that they're defeated. They know that they're not pleasing God. They know that they're not doing what God wants. So there's no joy in reading God's Word. There's no joy in coming to hear it preached or taught. There's no joy in trying to walk with the Lord because they know that God wants to deal with their sin first and they don't want to deal with that. And there's no joy in working and serving the Lord. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For any man that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in. The love that we're to have for the Father is diminished, it says. The love for God is our motive for service. And so, if we have sin in our life because we are feeding our flesh and we're doing what it wants, then we're defeated in our life. There's no joy in our life for the Lord because we know that we're not right with Him. And our service to the Lord is diminished because we don't have any desire. And verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And according to verse 13, at the last part of the verse there, it says what we need to do is to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We have to make a decision. We have to choose to put those things aside. And we have to choose to start feeding our spirit. You know, Galatians, I don't have time, but Galatians 5:17 says, therefore the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary the one to the other. There's a fight. There's a battle going on. And as I've told you before, it's kind of like a dog fight there. Whichever one you feed is the one that's going to win. You can feed your flesh. And that's what, if you're doing that, you're defeating because your spirit has no power. But if you feed the Spirit through the Word of God and you deny the flesh, then you can have victory. And so the choice that a defeated Christian needs to make is to quit feeding the fleshly desires and start feeding the Word of God to the mind to have the victory that is there. And then the last one, the victorious Christian. Victory in the Christian life is possible. It is prescribed by God. That's His design that He wants. And ultimately, it is predetermined that that's where we will be. We will have total victory one day. As sin will be gone. But it is possible now. We are to choose, yield ourselves unto righteousness, not yield ourselves anymore to our body's desires. According to Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And he answers it by taking heed thereto according to thy word. What does the word heed mean, to heed the Bible? It means there to learn in order to obey. That is what we are to do. We are to learn. We're to hear the word of God. We're to believe it and we're to obey it. That is to be the truth of how we respond to God's Word there. Let me give you an example of it. Over in Romans chapter 12, I hope you're aware of these verses right here. But in Romans chapter 12, it says there in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I've preached on this on several different occasions, and y'all know what I've said before. You say it with me there. What is the problem of a living sacrifice? It what? It wants to crawl off of the altar. And that's the way our flesh is. We can make a decision that we're going to yield ourselves to God, and we can place our body on the altar there. But the next day, our body wants to crawl off of the altar and it doesn't want to do that anymore. And the point is this, you can't just make a one-time decision that you're going to submit yourself unto the Lord there. It has to be a day-by-day choice that you make. And it goes on to say that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed. Different. We're not to look like. We're not to act like. We're not to smell like. The world. We're to be different from the world that is around us. Nowhere has God told us to be like the world in order to win them. That is not His pattern. He does not bless. Can it happen? Oh, yeah, God can sometimes do things through our disobedience that it's even for His glory. But it's not His way. God wants us to come out from among them and be separate, to be different. He wants us to be transformed from the world, its pattern. And we are to be different. How does it take place? It says, by the renewing of our... How do we renew our mind? How do you change a person's thinking? By exposing them to new truth. And when we are exposed to the truth of God's Word, God can change the thinking in our minds. And can change then the actions in our life. That's what we need to maintain to be a victorious Christian. Now let me ask you, Christian, have you noticed the similarity of each of these different categories of Christians? The babe in Christ, what did they need? Exposure to the Word of God to grow. The one that is a defeated Christian, what does he need? He needs to put down the flesh and he needs to expose himself to the Word of God to feed the Spirit. And what does the victorious need to be transformed there continually? We need to renew our mind with the Word of God. All of us need then to be exposed to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, the personal study of the Word of God as much as possible. That's our choice. Choose you this day. Christian. Tonight, our young people are having their kickoff there of their clubs. It's not just to come to have a great time. They'll have that. It's not just come to have some food and snack for the evening. They'll have that. But it's to have the feeding of the spiritual truth of God's Word, and they will have that. And that's what they need. And adults, guess what? At 6:30, there's an adult Bible study as well. There's Sunday school at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. There's this preaching service that's here. Wednesday night is a prayer meeting. We primarily have prayer. But the last 10, 15 minutes or so there, we do have a devotional challenge. Even Wednesday night, there's a possibility to feed your mind on the Word of God. The point is, there are many opportunities that are there. Choose you this day whether you're going to take the opportunities that God gives you to expose yourself to His truth and grow thereby, or whether you will neglect and excuse your way out of it. The choice remains yours. Choose you this day. Heads bow, please. Christian, you know the choices that we place before you. If there's anyone here today that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never really thought about what I'm depending on. If you've never made that choice, or if you would like to know more about how to make that choice today before you leave, could you just indicate to me and say, Pastor, would you pray for me that I could make that choice today before I leave. Anyone in that category at all, just place your hand up real quick. Father, right now I pray for every one of us here today that we would be honest with ourselves as we evaluate ourselves where we stand before you. That we would make the choice that we know that you would be pleased with. And Lord, that we would discipline ourselves with the right choice day by day, for our flesh wants to back out. Help us to be found faithful in your eyes, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. You walked upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. Said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. One by one they came, for as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unknown. And I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry. But I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. You gave.